Did I hear a little person say amen? That's awesome. Amen. Amen. Let's spend some time in the Word, but before we do, let's take a moment and bow our heads and join our hearts together in prayer. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the times we have as a family of God to come together and sing your praises. Thank you, Father God, that we have the opportunity to give of our tithes and gifts and our offerings. Thank you, Father God, for the work you're doing through those tithes and gifts and offerings to help support our missionaries throughout all around the world. Father, thank you so much for little children and the energy and the vibrancy they bring. Thank you for just us being able to see them and rejoice knowing that you love them very much. And Father, we thank you for your word that we're told in the scripture is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, able to penetrate to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow, judging the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. And so now, Father, we pray that your spirit would be present as we spend time looking at your word, and we pray that you would be uplifted and that you would receive glory and honor. And we pray this all in Christ's most holy, most excellent, most wonderful name. Amen and amen. So there was a professor, and she liked to tell stories. And she often started her class with a story. Now some of her students, I mean, truth be told, some of her students in the class didn't appreciate the stories so much. They looked at them and they thought they were kind of folksy, a little long, perhaps a little hard to follow. So they would get bored, and they saw them as, generally speaking, kind of irrelevant to the class. They wanted to get to the meat of the class, you know. So they would tune her out, and they would ignore the stories, and they just saw her as kind of an oddity, kind of eccentric. And there were other students who tried to listen carefully. And as they did, they learned that the stories mattered, because they came to learn that the stories held keys to understanding some of the lessons that she was trying to teach. And in a way, they were presented in such a way that if you listened and you engaged in the stories, you would, as a student, remember the lesson being taught. And these students ended up doing pretty well in her class. And they ended up being real supporters of her as a professor. And they actually found themselves speaking about her and her class to other students. Now, you probably already know, but throughout his ministry, Jesus was known for telling stories, parables. And he used these to teach the crowds and his disciples about the kingdom of God. And by teaching this way, he not only fulfilled the words of prophecy spoken in Psalm 78:2 that said this. It said, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world." But he was not only able to fulfill prophecy by teaching this way, but he was also able to speak and teach around his enemies more freely, because they didn't have anything really concrete that they could nail him on. He's just sort of telling folksy stories, and the crowds are responding to him, and they're bright enough to know that there's a lesson there and that he's teaching some things that made them uncomfortable, but nothing they could just graph and lay out and say, "He said this, and so we need to deal with him." And teaching in parables, he also found that it required and demanded more of his audience. They had to give more of their attention to what Jesus had to say, and they had to think more deeply if they were going to understand what he was saying. And that said something about the way the Spirit was working in their hearts. It spoke to the fact that the Spirit was prompting them and drawing them, and they were giving their wills to knowing more of what Jesus had to say. So parables were a very powerful way for him to teach. Now, on this particular occasion, In Mark chapter 4, 1, we see that we would note that Jesus was teaching the crowds again by the lake, okay? And he told them a parable about a farmer who went out to sow his seed. He said that some of the farmer's seed fell along a path and the birds ate it all up. Some of the seed fell on rocky places, and it sprang up fairly quickly, but it didn't have much soil. So when it got scorched by the sun, it withered. And some of the seed, well, it fell among thorns, right? And it was choked out by the other plants. But some of the seed fell on good soil. And it grew up, and it thrived, and it produced a crop 30, 60, 100 times what it started with. Well, that story, that parable, confused the disciples. So when they were alone with Jesus, they asked him what the parable meant. They dug deeper. They went to the master, and they said, what does this mean? And in verses 13 and 20 of chapter 4, Jesus explained the meaning of the parable. He told them that the story was about different types of hearers. Different types of hearers. There are people, you see, who hear the word of God, but it seems to pass right over them as though they never heard it at all. Kind of like the dentist speaking to me about flossing. Whenever I go to the dentist, he speaks to me about flossing. And it goes right over my head, right over my head. In one ear and out the other. But Jesus said there were others who hear the word and they're excited by what they hear. But they don't allow it to take root in their lives. So when they're faced with hard times and troubles come, as they inevitably do, these people, they tend to fall away. They walk away from what they heard. Like those people who hear about flossing. And they go to it, you know, that first couple of weeks. And they're doing it big. And they get bored. You know, and so they stop. Some, Jesus said, hear the word and get distracted by the worries of wealth. And they desire for things. And so they walk away. And they just become unproductive. They're the people who floss and they do it regularly, but they do it incorrectly. And they don't accomplish what they should by doing the flossing. But then Jesus said, there are some who hear the word and they open themselves to understanding it, and they accept it by demonstrating obedience to it, and they allow it to take root in their lives so that the truth of the word transforms them, and they're the ones who produce a crop of 30 or 60 or 100 times what was sown. They're the people who floss well, and they do it regularly, and they have better dental health because of it. They're the people who talk about flossing to other people. You know, and they try to weave it into their conversations. In the parable about those who hear the word provides the context for the verses I'd like us to look at this morning. So if you have your Bible, take a moment, if you would, to open it to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 21 to 25. Sometimes these are seen as standalone verses. But these verses are intertwined with the verses from the parable above. So let's take a moment and we'll read the word. This is the word of God. If you hear nothing else today, hear this. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. Now, the picture here is of someone who's bringing a lamp into a dark place. The idea is Jesus is that light. He is that lamp that's coming into the darkness of the world. The bottom line is the world didn't have a light in it already. What men think of as light is not light. It's just the ravings and the ideations of men. But in that darkness, Jesus brought in a light. And Jesus said, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Do you take this lamp into a dark place so that you can hide it someplace? And because a lamp is meant to provide light in dark places, the answer to the question is quite obviously no. You don't bring a lamp, you don't bring a light into a dark room to put it under a bowl or to put it under a bed. You want it to illuminate, right? You want it to illuminate as much darkness as it can. So if you bring a lamp into a dark room, you'll want to put it on a stand so that its light can be spread out as widely as possible, can invade every portion of the darkness that light is able to penetrate. It's like when you go down into my grandparents' scary basement. There's monsters down there. And so when you went into my grandmother's scary basement, you didn't want to bring some silly little light like on your iPhone. No, what you wanted to enter into that space, into the darkness of her basement, is you wanted one of them 10,000 lumen flashlights. Something you'd get a sunburn from if you stood in front of it. And you'd turn that light on so it illuminated as much of the darkness of that basement as it could possibly illuminate. And that light could be seen from Mars. So if you were caught by the monster, someone far away would see it. No, light. Lamps have a purpose. Light has a purpose. And that's to give light. That's to give light. And that purpose isn't accomplished if you place it under a bowl or under a bed. The purpose is accomplished when it's given the most opportunity for it to spread out. Without light, that which is hidden, that which is concealed, won't be seen and can't be used properly. It can't be used properly. He says in verse 22, whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. The idea is that the truth Jesus discloses about himself in the kingdom of God, the truth that he speaks of in his parables, in his stories, the truth that people are called to hear is the light that's meant to pierce the darkness of our hearts and this broken world. And it's the light of the Word of God that is to be shared broadly with others, placed on a stand, announced, pronounced, made known, so that what was once shrouded in darkness can finally be recovered and used for the glory of God. But the light is only received when we hear and accept and apply God's word to our lives. And Jesus says this, to complete this thought overall, he says, if anyone has ears, let him hear. You see, in the Gospels, Jesus speaks of those who have ears to hear, typically at the end of a difficult saying or a hard parable. And that's because ears are something that, generally speaking, all people have, right? So he's speaking to everyone who's been given his words. But we all know that there's a difference between having ears and having ears that hear. Like any parent of an elementary school child will know. There's a difference, or as Karen knows when talking with me. So whenever Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, he's calling for people to pay attention. It's like he's saying, listen up. This is important. The parable I told you about those four seeds, that's important, and it's important that you understand where you are, that you might wake up and understand and change your course and think differently about the message that's coming your way. It reminds me of the police academy. I remember when the senior drill instructor wanted to pass along information, you know, to the recruits. He would stand among the recruits and he'd say, "Ears!" And their response was, "Open, sir!" Jesus is saying, "Ears, people of God! Ears, disciples! Ears to you all! Ears to the world! Open up! Open up!" Because he's giving that light. He's sharing his word. And we need to decide what we're going to do with it. And we're going to have to respond to it. And those who have ears to hear are those, just like in the parable of the seed and the sower, who hear the word, accept the word, and produce a crop. That is a harvest of righteousness for the glory of God. We don't receive the word simply for our own benefit. We receive the word that it might spread out, that it might change the world around us, that others would hear. And having heard and accepted, we're able to share that light of God's word, just like a lamp into a dark place, and put it on a stand so that it'll reveal what's hidden and concealed. And those who don't have ears to hear are those who don't really hear it and accept it. And those who don't produce a crop. And so they're unable to share the light of God's word. It's like they've covered the light with a bowl or put it underneath the bed. When it's under the bed, it's limited. It's unable to light up the darkness and reveal what's concealed. So by the power of the Spirit, it's up to the hearers to decide whether to take the word seriously and pursue understanding. And here's the thing, only the scripture makes it clear that only a few are willing. Only few, relatively speaking, are willing to listen, to hear, to receive, to accept, and will produce a fruit. Many more will have ears that don't hear. And as if to emphasize the importance of what he was saying, Jesus said this, "Consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." See, Jesus wants to make sure that his audience listens carefully and considers carefully their response to what they hear. He wants them to consider carefully what you read in the Word of God. He wants you to consider carefully what your response is going to be. And just as it says in James 1:22 that we're to not merely be listeners of the word, but people who do what it says. And as Jesus says, "Anyone who loves me will obey me," we're called upon to act on what we hear, because the measure you use will be measured to you, meaning that how you respond has a significant impact on your own life. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And there is both a promise and there is a warning. The promise is this: the more we take in the truth of God's word, and the more we apply these truths to our lives, the more it will be grown in us. It's like the more I practice my bass guitar, the more I practice that bass, the better I am, the more fluid I am on the fretboard. And the more fluid I am on the fretboard, the better able I am to play more complex music. And the better I am and more fluid I am on the fretboard and better able to play more music, the more ensembles I can be a part of. And the more ensembles I can be a part of, quite frankly, the joy of the music just keeps expanding and expanding and expanding. But I have to give myself to it, don't I? I have to put myself into it. And there's a warning in this text as well. For the believer, for those folks who don't have any interest, you know, in the end, they don't have an interest in following Jesus that closely. They don't have an interest in the kingdom of God. Essentially, they choose not to hear and act upon what the word says. And not only will they be unfruitful, unproductive in this life for what Jesus has called us to, but they will find themselves farther and farther away from the truths of God. Farther and farther away from having God be a part of their day-to-day. And then those blessings that they've received, those those things that they put their trust in, those things that have drawn them away, he says, in the end, they'll be taken from you. Those things that you did put your energy in, they will all be taken away. In essence, they'll burn up in the final days. And you know, I think on this because I see this play out sometimes in the body of Christ. I see sometimes, and we all go through these stages or recognize, but it's scary to me. It's scary to me. I see sometimes in the body of Christ this push me, pull you with the word of God. And that we want all the blessings and we want to have this connection with Jesus and we want to know that we have a future and an inheritance and that is secured for us by the blood of Christ. But I see this, sometimes this heart that's not willing to wade into the word. Not allow it to invade every portion of who we are. Instead, we kind of keep Jesus at arm's length. And I think because when we do that, I think what we end up doing is we limit our ability to produce fruit. We limit our ability to do what God has called us to do. And I think in the end, it makes us unable to reach the world around us because, quite frankly, it's not reaching us. And I see this push me, pull you with our times in the Word. You see how many things pull against you in reading the Word? Think on that. Think on that just a moment. How many things pull at you to not read the Word? How many things pull at you to not participate in worship on a Sunday morning? To say it's one of the options on the table. And we never want to be religious. We never want to make attendance something that we do because you know, that's what we do. But we want to be a part of what God calls us to. And he calls us to a fellowship of believers. He calls us to worship together. And yet we have this push me pull. You, well, I'll go if it's comfortable. I'll go if I feel good today. I'll go if. Brothers and sisters, I think we miss out. I think we miss out when we do that. We miss out when we're not allowing the Word to be a part of our day-to-day. We miss out when we don't allow the Word to permeate us, when we don't choose to try to have to open ourselves to it and knowing it more deeply. We miss out when we don't regularly worship with one another. And others miss out because we're not there to serve them. So he says, oh, consider carefully what you hear. Consider carefully, in essence, what you read in the Word. Don't let it just fly by you. Don't let it just fly by you. Don't get yourself distracted and walk away. Don't allow it to be taken from you because of the worries of the world. No, he says, give yourself to this walk. Give yourself to Jesus. So Jesus reminds his disciples, and he reminds you and us, that the stories in the Word, they matter. What we hear in the Word of God is of great importance to the life of the believer. And how we receive that Word of God must be carefully considered. Because what we do and what we hear determines whether or not we'll be grown in grace and in the likeness of Christ and increasingly bearing fruit in keeping with God's righteousness. And if we're not moving in that direction, the truth is we're moving in another one. And we will find ourselves growing weaker in faith. We will find ourselves slipping farther from the truths of God and made increasingly unproductive, just like those that Jesus spoke about in the parable who received the seed and ignored it, or were drawn away by a host of other things. And we're reminded here, I think, that we are not given the light of the Word and of Christ for it to be hidden. It was given to us to be shared with others so that they too could be brought out of the darkness into the light and bear fruit for the kingdom. We are now the ones who bring that light to the world around us. Jesus brought it into a darkened world, and you and I are the ones who now are charged with it by the power of the Spirit of God. And because of our salvation in Christ, we're now the ones who carry that light into the darkness of the world around us. If we don't go, who will? Who will bring that light? And as a community of believers, we will be fruitful in our endeavors to take grace beyond the walls if we remain committed to God's word, hearing it with ears that hear, and pursuing with ever-deepening desire a relationship with Jesus and allowing him to work in and through us. Consider carefully what you hear in the word. Consider carefully. Hear it. Act on it. Be fruitful. Because for us, the stories matter. The stories matter. Let's pray. Father God, I ask that you would guard over us as your people. I pray, Father God, that we would be people of the word. I pray, Father God, that we would listen carefully to what you have for us. I pray, Father God, that we would not be people who simply hear and forget, but we hear, we accept, we receive, and we carry that forward. And we pray, Father God, that the light of Christ will be illuminated in the darkness. And we pray, Father God, that we will be part and parcel of those people of your work to bring that light to others. So we entrust ourselves to your care and keeping, knowing that there is no name greater than yours, no power greater than yours, that we can entrust ourselves to. May we be fruitful. May we be fruitful. Amen and amen.